Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So is this the day that you've all been waiting for, Census Day? Can we talk about the census without being sarcastic? As part of our 10 Questions That Count series, we have the Census Bureau's latest response rate numbers right here on actual National Census Day, and we'll talk about what that means. Staten Island is leading the five boroughs with 43% of Staten Island residents returning their forms already. Way to go, Staten Island. Brooklyn brings up the rear in New York City with just a 32% rate. And in New Jersey, Middlesex County is past the halfway point. That must be the best response rate in our entire New York City metropolitan area, a response rate of over 50% now. I guess that's why they call it Middlesex. It's right around 50%. 53% of households in Middlesex County returning their forms. So let's talk about this. There, we can have some fun here on National Census Day. We have a census quiz. We have a couple of them up on our 10 Questions That Count website. We'll give you some census quiz questions. We will talk about why people in five upper Midwest states have the best response rate in the country by far. The New York Times had some interesting wording on that part of the country today, which I'll read you in a minute, and we'll ask for calls for people from North Dakota and Minnesota and places like that where you are oh so compliant. And we'll also talk about what's really seriously at stake with Afton Branch from the Drum Major Institute, who joins us now. Recently, she's written op-eds and articles for the Huffington Post about the 2010 census. Hi, Afton. Welcome to WNYC.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
And listeners, let's see where we should start. How about if we start, you know what, Afton, let's start with the upper Midwest, okay?
Right.
Because this is just too much fun. This is the model states, right? These are the teacher's pets of the Census Bureau. And in the Times today, Monica Davey wrote about these states that have the highest census participation rates, and they are South Dakota, Wisconsin, Nebraska, North Dakota, and Iowa. I think I might have mistakenly said Minnesota before, but Minnesota, the personality of people from Minnesota. You know anybody from Minnesota?
I do, actually.
They should be on the list, shouldn't they?
Exactly.
They are so nice. So some small towns in some of these states have a 100% response rate already, 100%, though those towns may only have a population of 50 people. But in this article, Monica Davey writes that some North Dakotans suggest the reasons for their high response rates. Quote, "Perhaps it is the way of thinking around here, some combination," they said, "of being practical, orderly, undistracted, and mostly accepting of the rules, whatever they are." So listeners, we know New Yorkers come from everywhere in America. If you are originally from South Dakota, Wisconsin, Nebraska, North Dakota, and Iowa, do you take umbrage at that, or does this sound like you and you're proud of it? Are you practical, orderly, undistracted, and mostly accepting of the rules, whatever they are? Call up and tell us if that sounds like you. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, if you originally hail from South Dakota, Wisconsin, Nebraska, North Dakota, or Iowa. 212-433-9692. And Afton, what do you think about our local response rate, just 32% in Brooklyn?
Well, I think a lot of that has to do with sort of a lack of knowledge. People don't know exactly what is the census all about and why does it matter to me. So I think, you know, what community groups around the city have been doing is trying to get the word out as best as possible. This benefits your community in these ways. So our response rate is sort of a function of, well, what is this? What do I don't really know much about it, so I'm going to ignore it. But it's our job to get the message out that, you know, maybe you shouldn't ignore it.
Let's say it. Even though people have probably heard it ad nauseum, let's just say it out loud again.
Right.
How does it benefit our communities?
Exactly. Well, I think the first thing on everyone's minds is money. It's funding. So, you know, the big stat that everyone likes to talk about is that $400 billion are given to communities, given to states based on census data. So, very simply, the better count your community gets, the better shot it has at getting its fair share of this money, right? And this money goes to schools, it goes to parks, it goes to hospitals, sort of everyday things that affect your life. So you want, you know, your community, your neighborhood to have the best shot at, you know, getting this funding.
You just gave away question two of our census quiz, which was how much federal funding is allocated annually based on census data, A, $4 billion, B, $40 billion, or C, $400 billion.
And
you gave away the answer C. So I'll have to ask you question three.
Right.
Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Which is false? A, all census takers carry official government badges marked with their name. B, I can ask a census taker for an additional photo ID if they come to my door to verify their identity. Or C, if a census taker comes to my door, I must allow them to come into my home. Which of those is false?
I think the last one is false. You want to cooperate them, but you don't have to let them inside of your house. And the first two are really important to know. You can ask them for their ID. You can make sure and verify that the person, you know, in front of you is really who they say they are. So C is definitely false. Don't
Not only don't you have to let them into your home, we are told by the Census Bureau that a census taker will never ask to enter your home.
That's important.
So if you don't send in your form, though, you may be subject to some of these census takers. And I think the government hired 80,000 of them.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to come knock, knock, knocking on your door, right?
Exactly. So, yeah, I mean, the best way if you don't really – you don't like the idea of someone coming to your house is really just mail it back. And, you know, mail it back today because in the next few months, you know, the census is going to send people to get these answers from you, whether by phone or by, you know, by knocking on your door.
Teresa in Shelton, Connecticut, you're originally from Nebraska?
Yes, I grew up in Nebraska, and I came to New York. I lived in New York for 17 years. And I think everything, when people say, oh, how was your visit in Nebraska? I say, it's almost like going to China. It's such a different atmosphere. It's such a different lifestyle that it's very separate from New York in a way. And we kind of know this like from the political map as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, for example, in New York here, the court system, my experience with Brooklyn and Queens, the court systems, you can lie and get away with lies in the court. Back in Nebraska...
That is a shocking concept.
I've been in the divorce court for 10 years. And anyway, but back in Nebraska...
And only your husband lies and you don't, right?
He lies and gets away with it. And meanwhile, that's a long story.
I don't want to know. I really don't want to know.
Yeah, no. But back in Nebraska...
They don't get divorced in Nebraska, do they?
Well, they do. They do. But back in Nebraska, for example, I have a brother who works for a special agent for the federal government back in Nebraska.
Uh-huh.
He said people would never get away with what my ex-husband got away with in the court. There's a whole different... There's so many cases here, so many people here that, you know, Bernie Madoff is the big news, not... some scandal in two-bit divorce court in New York.
So would you say, just to get this off of your divorce a little bit, would you say that people in Nebraska are, in general, as was described here, practical, orderly, undistracted, and mostly accepting of the rules, whatever they are?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Where do you like it better?
Well, I like New York better because there's more things to do and I'm in the art field. But I need to get out, and I need to get to Nebraska to get away, where it just seems so much more down to earth and relaxing and away from the fast pace.
Did you fill out your census form?
I did. I sent it off right away, first week.
Right away, first week. You're from Nebraska. Teresa, thanks a lot.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Next, our husbands are going to call in, watch, and tell us that everything she said was wrong. Tim and Chelsea, originally from Iowa, Tim?
Oh, yeah. I came to New York 25 years ago.
And did that sound like you, that description in the paper?
Absolutely not. I think Iowa's full of radicals. I mean, look at the evidence. Gay marriage, Barack Obama was elected, dumping the mainstream, well, then mainstream candidate Hillary Clinton. It's got the highest literacy rate of any state in the nation per capita. It's a pretty radical state. People do what they want to do, although I do think that they understand the value of government, which is why they fill out forms like the census and turn them in, because they understand that government helps their lives.
They elect people like Tom Harkin for
that
reason.
They do indeed.
Tim, thank you very much. Also joining us now is Habiba Noshin, a reporter for WNYC and an NPR fellow, out on Northern Boulevard in Queens this morning at a Census Day event. Hi, Habiba.
Hi there.
Tell us where you are. Set the scene.
Well, I'm at Bayside in Queens, where an event had just wrapped up to mark today as the official Census Day. But more importantly, officials, you know, came out today to really urge the Queens residents to fill out their forms, pointing out, you know, that areas such as Flushing, Queens are seriously lagging behind with response rates as low as 15%, when the national average right now is around 52. And that really spells trouble for Queens County, which could stand to lose, as we know, millions of the government funding, in government funding, if they fail to increase the count for Census 2010. And the community's focus today really was to tap into the Asian American community, saying things like, you know, language barrier cannot be an excuse. We have census workers from every language that will be coming to your door. Please let them in. Please trust them. And one of their partnership sort of focus has been tapping into community members who speak the language, just so there will be more level of trust when they're saying, hey, I'm a Sikh community worker. You can trust me when I'm saying this information will not be released to any other authorities. They're hoping that will have a greater effect in getting people to send those forms in.
And what happened at the census event? Was it just the politicians and the officials saying those things that you just described, or is it a community event or people showing up and eating donuts and swapping recipes?
Unfortunately, it was more of, you know, government officials, Congressman Gary Ackerman, and also Census Bureau workers, one from the Korean community, one gentleman from the Sikh community, were there showing their support, saying, look, we need you guys to trust us. This is not going to work against you in any way. Mm-hmm. But there wasn't a big turnout from the community members itself.
Now, if we go by geographical stereotypes, Asians are supposed to be as compliant as people from Nebraska.
Well, you know, there are two things that they're really struggling against, as one of the census workers told me. One is tapping into the illegal immigrant community, which does not want to reveal that they're here illegally, and they're worried that the census forms will, you know, inform the officials that they're here illegally, and that could come and hurt them. The other main issue for them is there are a lot of folks that are renting out, say, their basements or their attics illegally, and housing authorities have really been aggressive in tapping into that and saying, hey, you can't rent out your basement. So there's a lot of fear that if they mention on their form that there's, say, 15 people living in a house, that could be a bad thing for them and they can lose a form of income. So that's why they, even though there might be three families living in a house, only one family mm-hmm. fills it out, and that, you know, there's a lot of people that they're missing because of that fear.
So, Afton Branch from the Drum Major Institute, what would you say to families like that?
Right, I think the important message is to get out that the government's not interested in your responses as an individual. They want to know how you are a part of your community. So they're not trying to spy on a certain person in a certain neighborhood because they have 15 people. Mm-hmm. They want to supply that neighborhood with the services based on those 15 people. So it's not about you. It's about sort of you and your community together.
All right. I want to thank Habiba Noshin, WNYC reporter and NPR fellow from that Bayside event where they're promoting the census on Census Day. Habiba, thanks a lot.
Thanks so much, Ron.
And we'll continue with Afton Branch from the Drum Major Institute in a minute. And more of your calls if you're originally from the upper Midwest on why you just are oh so compliant. And we will continue also with census quiz question number 4. Stay with us on National Census Day.
If we don't know how many kids there are, how do we know how many classrooms we need? The census helps us know exactly what we need, so everyone can get their fair share of funding. We can't move forward until you mail it back. 2010 Census.
It's one of those TV commercials that you may have seen trying to get you to fill out your census form. And here we are on April 1st, National Census Day. And Deb in Morris Park in the Bronx, I think, has a problem. Hi, Deb. What's the problem?
So basically, I don't know anyone who's even received their census. So I called in, and they said they have until the 12th, but everyone around here kind of feels like it's some conspiracy.
Yeah, and I've heard the 20th. Afton, do you know? Because today is National Census Day. They want you to get it in by today, but it's not actually the deadline.
Right.
Right? So they'll still collect census forms that come in via the mail.
Absolutely.
I've heard up until April 20th postmarks.
Okay.
So hopefully that's the case. But you're saying that nobody, you've been asking around your neighborhood and nobody's even received the forms in the mail.
Deb. Right. So we've gotten a card that says we should get it, but everyone in the zip code next to us on City Island all got their census forms. But no one in our zip code, 10461, got it.
So you think it's a Census Bureau conspiracy to undercount Morris Park?
Exactly.
What about when you contacted the census? Since they're trying so hard to get everybody counted, didn't they say, okay, we're going to rush out a whole bunch of forms to your zip code right away again, or send somebody out to all the corner stores?
No, they said you can pick up a few at one of their centers, which is Westchester Square for us, but that doesn't take care of coming to Albert Einstein College of Medicine, and we all haven't received it. I don't know anyone else. So.
And here's someone else, actually. Brian from Prospect Heights wrote on our website, I would have returned my census, but I haven't received it in the mail yet. I called the hotline, and they won't resend me a form until April 12th. Any other Brooklynites not get a census yet? He asks. So there you are in the Bronx. There he is in Brooklyn with this problem. I think you can download a form.
Actually, I asked, and you can't.
Oh, you
can't. The one that they have downloaded has a big stamp over it that says information only.
Oh, so what you can download is the address, the information to get a form. All right. So, I don't know, Afton from Drum Major Institute, what can the people in Morris Park do? It sounds like 10164 is not getting counted because they don't have the forms.
Right. Well, what the Bureau says is to sort of, if you don't get it the first time around, to sort of wait, and they'll try to send you another one. I think that's what they're telling you, to wait around until the 12th to see if you get another one. But if you don't, on the website, I know you can type in your zip code or a neighboring zip code, and they'll give you a long list of libraries and schools and businesses that have forms that you can go and get some and fill them out.
Good luck, Deb. We also have with us now the mayor of Jersey City, Jeremiah Healy. Mayor Healy, thanks a lot for coming on WNYC. Hi there.
Hey, it's the least I could do, Brian.
So, happy National Census Day. How's the response rate in Jersey City?
We just got a report. We're not very happy with it. It seems like a little less than a third have sent them back so far, and that seems to be the way it's going in all the larger urban areas in the state of New Jersey. So, we've done, we've put up ads, videos on our local public television station. We've got a website up and running. And with the way we feel, it's like we're late in the third quarter, so it's not over. We can still pull out this victory. We want to get everybody to fill out those forms and send them back in.
What's at stake for Jersey City?
Well, it's the same as with everyone else. The number of people you have dictates how much federal funding is going to be made available to you for road repairs, hiring police, educational opportunities. Also, your state legislative representation and federal representation. So your congressional people, all of that is determined by the number of people that you have. And it only happens every 10 years, and we've been emphasizing to people that this is very important for yourself and for your city. We also have a couple of pre-counted sites, census survey sites, that will be up and running as of this afternoon. One right here at City Hall, one in the south end of our city, the Bethune Center, and one in the east end, the Paco Center in Jersey City. So, in fact, I'm going to hit the PATH stations, if not at lunchtime, certainly between 4 o'clock and 6 o'clock this afternoon, where a whole host of people go in and out at rush hour.
That's good, just to support the idea.
Yeah, just to make sure that they're aware and that this is important and they have to do it, and they're helping themselves if they do it.
Will they give you a stack of forms to hand out?
I'm not going to have forms to hand out. We're going to have handouts, though, telling them about what they have to do.
All right.
At these census sites, yeah, we will have forms. So if someone didn't get it, if they lost it, they didn't fill it out, they can come to the census sites. The forms will be available. They fill it out. It's only one page. It's like 10 questions. It should take 5 minutes. We filled it out at my house already, and we'll put them in the mail right from the counting sites here in Jersey City.
All right, Mayor, you ready for census quiz question number 4?
Go ahead.
Here we go. The Census Bureau found 12 factors which were most strongly correlated with low response rates in the 2000 census. Which of the following is not one of the 12 factors. A, larger number of people living in poverty. B, households where no one over 14 speaks English well. C, lower rates of residential internet access. And D, more tenants or renter-occupied units. Which one of those is not correlated with a low response rate?
What was that third one, internet stuff?
Yeah, lower rates of residential internet access.
I would say they're all correlated to low response.
And C is the answer. Officially, they did not find that lower rates of residential internet access correlates with a low response rate, though you would think it would actually go as well, right?
I would say all four of them, but if you had to pick one out, it would be C. That's why I asked you again about it.
All right. Good luck getting Jersey City counted
today. Do I get any credit for that, Brian?
I'd say you get full credit because that's the one you guessed. So
a C plus or a B?
I think that's, an A out of A.
Very good. I appreciate that, Brian. I'm going to add that to my resume.
we'll talk again, Mayor Healy.
Thanks, Brian.
Thank you very
Bye.
Much, Jeremiah Healy, the mayor of Jersey City. And we're still with Afton Branch from the Drum Major Institute. And we'll take more of your calls from the Upper Midwest in a minute. And also we're going to throw out another category now. If you have not filled out your census form and you don't intend to fill out your census form, call us, 212-433-WNYC. We have a comment to that effect on our site that I'll read in a minute. But, Afton, you ready for this?
Yes.
Here we go. Question number five. What do I do with it? Here we go. Question one of the census is, how many people were living or staying in this house, apartment, or mobile home on April 1st, 2010? Question two is, were there any additional people staying here that you did not include in question one? Why do they essentially ask the same question twice? A, it's been on the census since 1880 as a way to ensure question one is answered accurately. B, since the non-English-speaking population has grown, it's a way to reword question one. Or C, since there are more fractured families in the U.S., it reminds people to include all family members.
I'm going to go with A.
And it is A. It's been on the census since 1880 as a way to ensure that question one is accurate.
They like to ask questions more than once and sort of reword them to make sure you really answered correctly. And that's a way to do that.
So if you're just joining us, the Census Bureau reports that the five states that have the highest response rates are all in the upper Midwest. South Dakota, Wisconsin, Nebraska, North Dakota, and Iowa, around 70%, while Brooklyn's down around 30%. Having sent in the census forms by today, Census Day. And one North Dakotan quoted in the Times today said, perhaps it was the way of thinking around here, some combination of being practical, orderly, undistracted, and I love this one, mostly accepting of the rules, whatever they are. And John in Oradell is calling in with perhaps some family relevance to that idea. Hi, John. Thanks for calling.
Hi.
So you are of Swedish descent?
I'm Swedish descent. I went to college in Minnesota, grew up in the Midwest, but have lived here in the metropolitan area for the last 30 years.
And I could tell because you've got the New York attitude in your voice now. I'm of Swedish descent. I grew up in the New York area. So, but what did you want to say about being of Swedish descent and the relevance to the high count in the upper Midwest?
The Swedish government has taken an annual census ever since the mid-1750s. If one is familiar with the church records of the immigrants who came from Sweden to the United States, the churches took an annual census of their congregations every year until, shortly after World War II. So at least people of Swedish descent and the Norwegians, because they were controlled by Sweden for many years, are accustomed to being census taken with a whole lot of detail that we've never included.
Because there was another context for it. That's fascinating. John, thank you very much. So from our comments page, John Doe, I think it's the real John Doe, Afton, the real John Doe posts this. I only filled out my census form for myself and not my family. I undercounted my family on purpose, so New York will not get more money. New York wastes taxpayer money left and right. Example, New York spends more on Medicare, I think they meant Medicaid, than California, even though California has more people eligible. New York leads the nation in per pupil spending and education. Star of the beast. Fill out your census so the Census Department does not send a worker to your house, but only fill it out for yourself. Ignore your family members. I undercounted by six, writes John Doe. And I don't think that's an April Fool's joke.
Well, I mean, I think something that he's missing here is that the census is also literally information. So the government needs that to make the programs work more effectively. So if the, you know, New York's wasting money, they need to know, you know, where do people need these programs and how many people need them. So, you know, not giving them the information they need is not going to make them more efficient. It's only going to make them less efficient.
Afton, last summer, we devoted part of a live show in the green space to Central Brooklyn's economy. And one census-related worry that came up there was that the gentrification of Bedford-Stuyvesant and other neighborhoods was going to have a big impact on social services funding after the census count. In other words, if the people of lower incomes are generally harder to count and Bed-Stuy starts to look like a wealthier area, is this something that low-income residents in some of these gentrifying neighborhoods should be worried about?
No, I think that... I mean, the census is very good at accurately depicting how neighborhoods have shifted down to the street level and the block level. So gentrification in Central Brooklyn, which is where I live, is really happening block by block. So one block will look a certain way and one block will look another way. So if, you know, all the low-income residents respond accurately, there should be no impact on social services if they sort of respond. They respond well.
So we also have Manhattan Borough President Scott Stringer checking in as he tries to get people to send in their forms here on National Census Day. Borough President, you there?
Okay. We have, just so you know, we have an intern on the other corner there.
Okay.
We've been kind of spreading out, trying
okay.
to stay with the
Okay. The Borough President has an intern on the other corner, so we've learned that. So we'll get back to him in just a second. Who else? Let's see. Ali in Newark. You're on WNYC. Hi, Ali.
Hi. Good morning, Brandon. Thank you for taking my call. I listen to your show every day.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, I'm calling about immigration. I received a census form, and I'm not filling them out because, you know.
You are or you're not?
Immigrant, like illegal immigrants, they have no studies, they have no papers, they have no rights. And when it comes to getting money, all of a sudden there are people who want to con them. Why not give them papers and con them?
And you feel like if you filled out the form, you would just be bringing money to somebody else. Is that it?
Yes, and it's like they're selling me to get money.
Afton, this is not the first time I've heard an immigrant say that they feel used by the census. All of a sudden,
yes.
They want to,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Everybody wants them. Talk to Ali.
Right. Well, Ali, the census is really one of the most important ways that you can participate if you're undocumented in our country. And the Constitution says, you know, no matter whether you're a citizen or not, we'd like you to participate. And also the services that the census helps direct, it doesn't matter what status. You know, you drive on roads, you use water, your students go to school. I mean, those are services that everybody uses and everybody needs, no matter what, you know, what your status is.
Yeah, it's like using... It's like a two major thing, you know. One is, okay, when it comes to getting your right, you know, you're not somebody. And when it's coming to getting the community money, okay, we want to include you.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
It's either one or the other. Either
right.
You want to be part of the community or you're not part of the community. Why count me in one side and don't count me on the other side?
Absolutely. I think also the census is a way for undocumented immigrants and people who aren't citizens to prove their power, to prove how many people there are and where they live. And I think that's going to be really powerful, sort of telling the government, hey, these people are living here. Maybe we need to do something about their status.
Ali, good luck. Fill out your census form and then good luck, whatever you do. Isn't it interesting that the two sort of boycott movements are coming from illegal immigrants and the far right,
mm-hmm.
right? Pretty disparate
right.
groups, right? Is there a part of you that wants to sit here and say, good, if you know, if Glenn Beck wants to urge all the people who watch his television show not to fill out their census forms well, as I guess he's been doing, then good. Let those people be undercounted, and we'll do better in Brooklyn, something like that.
Right. Yeah. The cynical part of me wants to think that, you know, certain districts that lean more conservative, well, it's okay if they're not counted. But, you know,
let them undercount the Michigan militia.
Right. Right. But, you know, it's about your neighbor. So if you know, you're a Glenn Beck and you don't answer the census, it hurts your neighbor. And I don't want to, you know, hurt his neighbors for his staunch views.
You would think that there would be an effort not only to get your own communities counted, but actually suppress the count
right.
in other areas. But I haven't seen that break out, really.
Hopefully not.
Scott Stringer, Manhattan Borough President, I think, is on the phone with us now. Borough President, hi. So you're handing out census palm cards somewhere? Is that what I understand?
Well, we've been out since early this morning. We started in El Barrio on East 116th Street. And now I'm in Hell's Kitchen on 50th and 8th, and we're just continuing our all-day push to get Manhattan residents to be counted and send in the census forms.
And what kind of a reaction are you getting out there?
It reminds me of a campaign. People, the last few days of an election, when you come up to them and say, don't forget to vote, and they say, I'm voting, and a lot of people are saying that they sent back their forms. You know, New York City is lagging behind the rest of the nation, as you know. And we're trying to make up the difference in the next few days.
Now, Borough President, since you're here, you're going to have to put up with a census quiz question. Are you ready?
I'll do my best.
And it's going to test your knowledge of your own borough relative to the other boroughs. This is the first question on our second census quiz, which is now up on our website. And we'll give away just this first question's answer. And for the rest of them, listeners, you'll have to go and take the quiz yourself. But this is drawn from census data, not from the census form that's out there now. There are no religion questions on this census form, but they do have other times during the year when they ask a group of people that. And census data tells us that one borough is the leader in being religious. I'm sorry, I have it backwards. One borough lags in being religious the most. Which is the least religious borough by percentage of people in the borough reporting that they are religious? Any guess?
I'll say Manhattan.
You'd think it would be Manhattan, wouldn't you?
Yeah, that's what I would think.
But go ahead.
No?
It's actually, according to census data, it is actually Queens.
Wow.
And,
really?
And the stats were, in Brooklyn, 630 out of every 1,000 people said they were religious. In Manhattan, 700 people out of every 1,000 said they were religious. On Staten Island, 750 people out of every 1,000 said they were religious. In the Bronx, 563 people out of every 1,000 said they were religious. And in Queens, just 482 people out of every 1,000 said they were religious. So
now I have a census quiz for you. You ready?
Oh, no, I asked the questions around it. Okay.
Okay,
no, go ahead.
Which borough so far has the highest census compliance rate in the city of New York?
Oh, we went over that before. I happen to know that is Staten Island. Staten Island, right?
No, it's Manhattan.
Is it Manhattan? Let's see.
I believe it's Manhattan. Let's see.
Well, maybe it changed in the last day, because I have the stats as of March 29th, at which time it was Staten Island 28%, Manhattan 26%, Queens 20%, Brooklyn 18%, and the Bronx 20%. So
I think we've inched ahead, but we want to keep. We want all the boroughs to participate. But I thought it'd be. I think we're running first. We're going to try to lead the charge. But I can imagine that we want all the boroughs out there.
You don't want to do any like Staten Island census count suppression.
Oh no! I want to be equal to every one of our beautiful, wonderful boroughs.
So that Manhattan gets more school aid from Washington, things like that.
Well, I'll tell you, Manhattan. Manhattan has lost $212 million a year because we undercounted 10 years ago, and we don't want to see the same thing happen. So the stakes are very high for the whole city.
Manhattan Borough President Scott Stringer, thank you very much. Good luck out there.
Thanks, Ed. Bye.
And we're just about done with Afton Branch from the Drum Major Institute, who's also been writing op-eds and articles for the Huffington Post about the 2010 census. What do you want to say as a last word on this National Census Day for anyone who's, I don't know, on the fence or, you know, trying to figure out just how Swedish they feel today or whatever?
Well, I just want to say to everyone that there's really nothing to lose. There's nothing to be afraid of. And you and your community has everything to gain. And, you know, the bottom line is it takes 5 minutes and it lasts for 10 years. So fill it out.
And this just in from the Census Bureau, as of this morning, it's about neck and neck now. Manhattan, 42%. Staten Island, 43% return rate. But Brooklyn, you got to get with it because it's only down around 32%. And I don't have the other boroughs in front of me. Middlesex County, New Jersey, winning the local race so far as of today, according to the Census Bureau, with a 53% return rate. Afton, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Happy Census Day.
You too.
And to everybody who wants to take the rest of our census quiz, you can go to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show. And more of The Brian Lehrer Show to come. Stay with us.